Kopidana Balava Girvanadari. Kopidana Balava Girvanadari. Yasoda na na na, brother da na 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 na. Yasoda na na na, brother da na 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 na. Yamuna tiha vanachari. Yamuna tiha vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Prabhudakacharya Asatara Sadvushi Shiman His Divine Grace Shalesi Bhaktivedanta Swamiraj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Harivo, all glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamite Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vajarne Se Sarasvati Pasipatya De Satarne Om Agnatvananda Sya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sadrivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakansvitam Sha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchena Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishubhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Drubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Vamanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So thank you all for staying for the lecture. We know you have a choice. So this is, we're going to read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 15, the Yoga of the Supreme Person, and this is text number 8. Shriram yadavapnoti yatschapyu kramatishvraha grihivaitani samyati vayur ganda ivashayat The living entity in the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another, as the air carries aromas. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. So this is Srila Prabhupada's purport. Here are the living entities described as Ishvara, the controller of his own body. If he likes, he can change his body to a higher grade, and if he likes, he can move to a lower class. Minute independence is there. The change his body undergoes depends upon him. At the time of death, the consciousness he has created will carry him on to the next type of body. If he has made his consciousness like that of a cat or a dog, he is sure to change to a cat's or dog's body. And if he fixes his consciousness on godly qualities, he can change into the form of a demigod. And if he is in Krishna consciousness, he will be transferred to Krishna Loka in the spiritual world and will associate with Krishna. It is a false claim that after the annihilation of this body, everything is finished. The individual soul is transmigrating from one body to another, and his present body and present activities are the background of his next body. One gets a different body according to karma, and he has to quit his body in due course. It is stated here that the subtle body, which carries the conception of the next body, develops another body in the next life. This process of transmigrating from one body to another and struggling while in the body is called karshati, or the struggle for existence. So the verse again. Sharira yadavapnoti yatschap yukramati shraha grihi vaitani samyati vayor ganda ivashayat. The living entity of this material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another, just like the air carries aroma, and thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. This verse is a continuation of a previous verse that Krishna has explained. Dainos minyata dehe kamaram yovanam dura tata dahantra praptir diryas tatra namuyati. Krishna is saying that the body is changing. It's going from boyhood to youth, then to old age. And at the time of death, the soul, who's aware of all these different changes, he takes another body. One time our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, he was giving a lecture in South Africa. And during the lecture, someone challenged Prabhupada when Srila Prabhupada is explaining about the science of reincarnation. And this particular person, he said, Swamiji, why are you calling reincarnation a science? It is a hidden Hindu doctrine. But Srila Prabhupada said, no, it is actually a science. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, your body is changing. So it is not that Krishna was saying to Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, unfortunately, you're a Hindu. Therefore, you have a body that's changing. And I'm a Hindu god, and therefore I know about these things. And at the time, because you're a Hindu, you'll have to die. At least your body will die. But fortunately, because you're a Hindu, you'll take another body. But those who are not Hindus, like Christians or Buddhists or atheists, their bodies don't change. So they don't have to worry about taking another body. No, 5,000 years ago, Krishna was explaining exactly what's taking place now. Everyone has a body that's changing. And everyone's body goes from boyhood to youth to old age. And then at the time of death, we take another body. There is a soul within the body, and that soul is aware of all the different changes of the body. And at the time of leaving the body, according to the consciousness that one has developed, one will get another body. So here it explains that the consciousness comes from the soul. Krishna uses another example in a previous chapter. Or actually, it's, he says, Yata prakashyatye kam kritsnam lokim imam ravi shetra shetri tata kritsnam prakashyati bharata. Just like the sun is situated in one place and it illuminates the entire universe with sunlight, so the soul is situated in one part of the body and it's illuminating the entire body with consciousness. So we're aware of the body through our consciousness. Although we ourselves as souls are situated within the body, we're illuminating the body with consciousness. And here it explains that consciousness is compared to air. That air is by nature pure. But due to association, the air, when it contacts a rose garden, then it smells very sweet. But that same air, when it passes by a garbage place where there's garbage, then it smells very foul. The air is the same, but by association, either it smells very sweet or it smells very foul. Similarly, the soul within the body is pure by nature, but due to association with the three modes of material nature, sometimes it appears very elevated, as in the body of a higher living entity, such as the demigods. Sometimes it appears very degraded, as into the lower species of life. And sometimes it appears to be in between. But actually the soul is not changed. Simply the body it acquires, and therefore the consciousness it perceives, with its consciousness is perceiving, is changing according to its activities in the material world. The soul's primary activity, if only activity in the material world, is desiring. Due to association with the materialistic mind, sometimes it becomes attached to certain desires, and sometimes it becomes averse to certain ideas, and therefore, according to its attachments and aversions in the material world, is acquiring different bodies, gross and subtle. This is compared to just like a person who's riding in a car, and they become very much attached to their car, so much attached to their car that they actually believe that they become practically the car. This is called, in Sanskrit, it's called ahamkar. It's called I am the car. So Bhagavad Gita is explaining how we can understand what is the difference between the soul and the yantra, or the body that it's driving. When we understand that, then we can understand what is the importance of association. Because Krishna says, Purusha prakriti stohi bhunkte prakriti jangunan karna guna sangosya sad asad yoni janmasu. The living entity in the material world, he thus enjoys the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of material nature, and thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. Or, as she says, the living entity in the material world thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of material nature. This is due to his association with the modes of material nature, and thus he meets both good and evil amongst the various species of life. In other words, the material world is due to our association, due to our accepting certain desires or certain ideas in the material world. Primarily the idea is that when we associate with a certain class of persons or a certain type of persons, naturally they have a certain idea how to become happy. In the modes of ignorance, people become enlivened by the idea of trying to enjoy intoxication, other types of activities. And therefore they glorify those activities, they discuss them, they participate in them, and therefore those in that association, they become attached to those ideas. And by that attachment to those ideas and those activities, they also acquire that mode of material nature, namely ignorance. Other persons who associate with the mode of passion, how to make money, how to get ahead of materialistic life, they, by such association, they develop a similar ideas, similar attachments, and therefore they wind up in a similar situation. Similarly, those in the mode of goodness who may appreciate art or music, they also become attached to certain ideas, certain associations. And in the same way, Krishna is explaining, if we become attached to associating with him, and we become attached to the association with those who are attached to associating with him, then we'll develop a certain similar ideas, similar conceptions, similar attachments, and the result is by associating with Krishna, just like when we put an iron into the fire, then the iron becomes hotter and hotter and hotter, and then it takes on the same qualities that fire does. So similarly, by associating with those who are attached to associating with Krishna, by associating with Krishna in that way, our consciousness becomes purified, and then gradually we can see things as they actually are. And what will we see? Just what's explained here, that this material world, the world of competition, is a false competition. Here everyone's competing to become something special. But that competition is false because we're not the body. We're not our mind. We're not our intelligence. These things are given to us by the modes of material nature. Although we may become the world's greatest swimmer, but actually the soul within the body is not really the world's greatest swimmer. It's simply attached to the idea of becoming the world's greatest swimmer, and therefore it gets a body that makes it appear to be the world's greatest swimmer. But what will be the result of becoming the world's greatest swimmer? So many people are trying out for the Olympics and swimming back and forth all day long. The result is in the next life, they'll get a body which is even a better swimmer. They'll become a fish in the ocean. And they can spend the whole day. They don't have to go out practicing swimming. If you want to become the highest jumper, the world-class high jumper, then Krishna is so kind that why take the body of a human being? It can only jump a little bit. Take the body of a flea. You can jump many times your height, or a grasshopper. So after practicing so much to become the greatest in something in the material world, Krishna will give you whatever body you think will make you the greatest here. But actually the soul, he doesn't become his body, nor should he take any credit for whatever his body is doing. It has nothing to do with him. It's given to us by the material nature as a gift or as a punishment for our previous desires and activities. So the soul who knows that, he realizes everyone is qualitatively the same. Everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. But as soon as one enters into this competition to become something that we're not, then there's karshati, as explained here. One has to struggle in order to become something special. But this is the cause of all our problems. For ourselves as spiritual souls, we have absolutely no problem because we're eternal. And we're by nature full of awareness and full of happiness. But as soon as we enter into this false struggle for material existence, for material supremacy, for material happiness, for material lordship, then we're forced to misidentify ourselves with this body, and therefore we have to go through the fear and the anxiety of the changing bodies, which ultimately result in the same death for everyone, that everyone has to die eventually. In spite of all the great scientific advancements that modern society has made within the last 100 years, all the technological and medical advancement, I'm sorry to say that according to the latest statistics, that even here in Los Angeles, the world's greatest city, the death rate is still 100%. We didn't want to depress anyone, but they've made absolutely no progress, nor will they ever make any progress. That everyone, they have to leave their body sooner or later, and then you wind up in the same place at the end of the race, dead last. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is to awaken the soul. What is the proper association? So that we can wake up to our eternal consciousness and therefore not become bewildered by the so-called competitive spirit of materialistic life. That everyone here is in the same position. But in the human form of life, there's an opportunity of learning to see the real equality of all living entities. How all living entities are spiritual souls, and the only thing they have to do is wake up to their spiritual consciousness, their relationship with Krishna, and their whole problems are solved. Their material problems will not be solved. It is not possible to solve material problems. Because in the long struggle for existence to avoid old age, disease, and death, and then having to take another body, it is impossible by materialistic means to do so. But only by awakening to Krishna consciousness is this possible. And of course, as most of you know, the method that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended in this age is simply by chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the only thing we have to do is mean what we're saying when we chant Hare Krishna. Actually ask Lord Krishna, ask Srimati Radharani to kindly engage me in loving service. If we actually mean that, we actually want that, the process of devotional service is to develop that desire so that gradually we can actually be sincerely chanting Hare Krishna and wanting that and nothing else. Just like if a child says to his mother, my dear mother, I want to go outside. I want to eat. I want to go to sleep. I want to watch television. I want a new toy. So what will the mother do? What will she know what the child wants? She won't know. The child wants so many things. So if the child says, I want to eat, I want to eat, I want to eat, then it becomes very clear to the mother what to do. So similarly, if we say, Hare Krishna, all the energy of the Lord, oh, the Supreme Lord, kindly engage me in loving service. Please give me a new car. Please give me a new wife. Please give me a new house. Give me a house. Give me a wife. Give me a color TV. Jai Jagadisha Hari. So what will Krishna do? Krishna won't know what to do. Therefore, we have to actually learn how to chant Hare Krishna sincerely. So that Krishna will he'll know exactly what to do, and that way we'll make advancement in realizing our eternal identity. So, thank you very much. Any questions? Grantara Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Haribo.
So Maharaj will be giving the Srimad Bhagavatam class tomorrow morning if you'd like to come back for more of the same. Hare Krishna.